Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It is 2:08 p.m. here in the Heartland. It is June 14th, 2021, here with Katie and Ryan. Annie's out for several weeks, probably the summertime, on maternity leave. And can you kids believe it is almost mid-June?
No.
What in the world?
No, I thought this was supposed to be still like Memorial Day weekend. It doesn't feel like, well, you know what? Weather-wise, it does feel like summer's here
now,
for
finally.
Sure.
Yeah.
Finally, yeah.
But it was so like springy. We had a long, wet spring. And so Memorial Day kind of came in wet. And I was like, okay, it was Memorial Day. But like, I didn't think of it as summer. And then over the last week, I've thought of it as summer. Definitely, for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's time. I mean, this is the time when my kids love just going swimming with my wife's a teacher, so she's off in the summers. They love doing this kind of stuff. But it was like we had to wait. You know, Memorial Day is usually, well, the pool's definitely open by Memorial Day, sometimes earlier. And it was not this year. So in that regard, I've actually enjoyed the warmer weather.
I forget that it's summertime so much, not because of the weather, but just because the kids are out. And now I live in a suburban neighborhood that there are kids everywhere and they're taking full advantage of no more school. And I just totally forget. I'll get home. I'm like, what are these kids doing? And then I'm like, oh, it's summertime and they're going buck wild. That's what they're doing. And I'm jealous. Well, I wish it was me.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so it's upon us, and it's here. And again, last week, my whole mindset on summer was disjointed because I got to travel to the Pacific Northwest for the first time. I've not hardly spent any time in the Pacific Northwest. I've been very blessed to travel, like, all over the country and even in different parts of the world, but never really done the Pacific Northwest. I've been in Seattle's airport, and that's been about it. Other than that, I'm missing, I was until recently missing Washington, Oregon, Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Idaho. I think those are the six states I had left. And so last week, I got to cross two more off the list. I'm down to four, I believe. So I flew into Spokane, Washington, and then drove back across the border into Idaho. And I got a story about that, the difference between the states. So I got to travel for the first time to do like a conference. I went to a little tiny conference up in Virginia, which was weird. It was like 28 days later. I went up there in December, and I was in a part of Virginia that's right across the Potomac in Northern Virginia, very, very busy place back in the old world of 2019. And it was like it was really like you could imagine people peering out from behind their blinds. I mean, it was empty. The streets were Northern Virginia. When I was there in the first week of December, you could have set a bomb off in the middle of the street and not hit a single person.
Oh my
God. Is this like Washington, D.C.?
Crystal
suburbs?
City. No, right across the river. Crystal City, Pentagon City, where the suburb, where like another metropolis has grown up around Washington, D.C. Yeah. over the decades. I'm talking a subway ride from the middle of Washington, D.C. Northern Virginia, where the Pentagon is, Crystal City, Ronald Reagan International Airport is right there. Ronald Reagan Airport's actually in, it's called DCA, but it's actually in Virginia. So this is like City of St. Louis is to Clayton, okay? It's that close.
Wow.
It's a few miles. And that area, which is very, it is kind of, it's like Clayton. It's a lot like Clayton. A lot of big high rises, a lot of businesses, but tons of residential living as well. A lot of loft living and apartments and condos. Empty. First week of December. I got into Reagan Airport and there was like no one. I got on the shuttle to the hotel. No one on the shuttle but me and the driver. I get to the hotel, the Renaissance. I see the clerk, the desk clerk. And during the next 3 days, I saw two people in the lobby.
Wow.
Whoa.
Because they were, as of December. Now, I know we're in June, but as of December, when we were kind of starting to, like, be done with it here, right? We were starting to be like, okay, vaccine's coming. It's Christmas. Happy days are here again. They were still completely and utterly on lockdown. And it was me and this group of 30 legislators and a legislative group I've been working with for years called ALEC. And we had this little conference in the basement of the Renaissance up in, I think it was a Crystal City is where we technically were. And we were like the only people in the hotel. It was weird. It was freaky. And I'd walk across the street in the morning. I did my little morning radio show in Springfield remotely and they wouldn't see anybody. And it was just so strange. And then I flew back home a few days later. And I bet you I saw, other than the people I was there to see at the conference, I'll bet you I saw a dozen people in 3 days in one of the busiest, most congested parts of the world. That's what psychologically the big government has done to the minds of Americans. That is the difference between red states and blue states. So I fly into Spokane, Washington last week. I'm going to an Americans for Tax Reform conference. Grover Norquist runs Americans for Tax Reform. I've interviewed him on this station several times. Grover's a good friend of mine. I do some consulting work here. I do a combination of radio work and government consulting work, mainly in the freedom and liberty space. People say, what's that? Well, like Americans for Tax Reform, like 501c3 organizations that advocate with state legislatures for tax reform, education reform, things like that. So there's a person like me in about 42 states because Grover has these little missionary style meetings called the center right meetings. And I run the Missouri center right meeting. So we get together every year, we used to, with the version of me in all the states. So it's like 42 of us. We don't have a meeting in every state, but in about 40 states. And so we haven't done this in about 18 months or 2 years. And so we're all getting together. We're all going to see each other live. We've been on Zoom calls and phone calls and all that. So we fly into Spokane, Washington. Spokane, Washington. Washington's a blue state, right? They've had a crazy governor and crazy Seattle and all that. But we're on the good part of the state. We're in like the St. Charles version of Washington. So this is the eastern side of the state on the other side of the mountains, on the other side of the mountains from Seattle. Spokane's a much more normal city, but you fly in there, and meanwhile, okay, we don't have to wear masks anywhere if we're vaccinated or whatever or had COVID. There and on the airports and on the airplanes, full of masks still, full masks. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And everybody in the airport's wearing masks. And you walk outside the airport. People are outside wearing masks. Bill Maher just said, he just had a meltdown on a clip we played earlier. Take your freaking mask off if you're outside, especially if you've been vaccinated. So then you get in a little shuttle bus and you drive 30 minutes into Idaho. So I was at the panhandle of Idaho, the little panhandle at the top. It's a different world. Masks are off. Now, people who are running businesses, they have to wear masks still because they still got them in the place. Hopefully that's going to expire. But nobody who has the freedom to not wear a mask is wearing a mask. So it's like red state, blue state. It was like being in, I felt very much at home. It was like Missouri, Illinois, you know, Idaho, Washington, same thing. And what you're seeing is the economies in these red states are returning, improving, growing. The Idahoans I talked to said, oh, good grief, you wouldn't believe the amount of Californians moving in.
Really?
I was right next door. I sat right next to a couple on the plane, really nice couple. We didn't get into politics, but I think they were center-right people because they're business people. They were coming back from Indiana. The wife she sat right next to me, and she was Chatty Cathy, and she was like, we're refugees from California. At the very beginning of this pandemic, we couldn't take California anymore. We moved to Idaho. We purposefully left California and all the great things it has, and moved to Idaho. And we love Idaho. Idaho is a neat place, by the way. It's kind of arid climate. It was really cool last week. Mm-hmm. It was in the 60s.
Oh, that's nice.
But they say it can also be in the 90s. It just depends on the ocean flow up there, because you are close enough to the Pacific, you know? And so they chose to move. And I said, is that happening? They're like, it's happening in droves. They said the problem is too many people are bringing some of their policies with them. Not everybody. Most people know why they're leaving California, and they're voting differently. But some of the Washingtonians I talked to, who are more the sane ones, and some of the Idahoans, are said, it's a concern. We have no problem with the income migration. We just don't want you to bring your really bad blue state policies that you left in the first place with you.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because I saw a report that said that, you know, we always talk about California's moving to Texas. That's been the big, you know, that everybody talks about that. And the reports I saw say that the majority of Californians moving to Texas are actually center-right people.
That's good.
Who've left knowing what they're leaving on purpose and going to other states. So I wondered if that was the same in Idaho and wherever else.
So it depends on where they're coming from, right? We always forget, I think, how big California is.
Yeah.
I think it's, I don't know, if you were to cut it in half and put it next to each other, would it be like two Missouris? I mean, it's a pretty
probably
big,
bigger than that.
It's a big freaking state, right? Yeah. So if you're from Northern California and you're just done with California and moving out, you're probably you may not be a raging conservative, but you're probably generally a center-right person, right? And so that's fine. You're just getting out of California because it's run by lunatics, you know? Most of the problem in California, when you talk to Californians, and we have a listener who listens to me, listener Joe. He's listening right now. And he's from California. And so he'll send me little nuggets and tidbits all the time. He'll ping me on Twitter or something and give me some stuff. And Joe will agree with this, that it's largely the Central Valley of California. It's L.A.,
sure.
San Francisco, and its suburbs. The rest of California, which is a lot of landmass and millions of people, are more like Missouri and Alabama, you know? Mm-hmm. They're agrarian, or they're small business driven, and they're not so bought hook, line, and sinker into the far left coast lunacy.
See, I wonder if that's what's happened. In, you know, maybe over the next 5-10 years, we'll find out what that migration looked like, because everybody knows the migration's happening. If California has just become bluer, even as the population's gone down, because those who are left-leaning have stayed, excuse me, and all of the sort of center-right people, like you said, have been leaving. And so, yes, California itself will probably never go red, because, you know, if you have migration of the conservatives from California, your liberals are going to be left. But their overall electoral votes, their number of representatives will go down, and
yes,
their significance will go down,
yes,
because of loss of population.
And the biggest question, which the media refuses to talk about, is the massive civil war that's going on in the Democratic Party, because the question becomes for California, for Illinois, for New York, out of the remaining people who identify as Democrats, because as of right now, we still do have two, we are a binary party system. So out of those Democrats, how many of them will continue to drift into the land of far leftism, and how many of them will say, no, I've had enough, that's insane, I'm not doing that anymore, and will the state become less blue and more purple, right? Mm. I could see California becoming more purple, and I have proof for that. In the last election cycle, the 2020 election cycle, so California has a center-right populist streak, I believe, as well. Even though they voted for Joe Biden, they also elected a ton of Republican congressmen and women back. A lot of the ones that had lost 2 years before won and came back. And they're smart. The Republican Party out there is recruiting a lot of Hispanics, military veterans. And so they're winning. And guess what lost? Every single left-wing liberal ballot proposition. There were five of them, I believe. And it was everything from like raising the minimum wage more, and there was a huge property tax on the ballot, and there was a big affirmative action thing. And guess what? They all got voted down in California.
That's interesting.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's like Illinois. You know, yeah. Illinois didn't exactly like gain a bunch of Republican seats, but all the leftist ballot initiatives in 2020 lost. So, yeah, interesting.
Let me pop Mike in. Just
sure,
real
yeah,
fast.
Go for it. Absolutely.
Yeah, Mike had a Mike. You're chiming in on this income migration, this policy migration, and you've got a story because you're a refugee from one of the liberal lands.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, Tim. Love the show. Your input is unique, and I just wanted to say that I left northern New Mexico, Santa Fe in particular, which is a very blue, like Bernie blue town. I left 4 years ago because of what I saw, a number of things going on. There was a stream of people from south of the U.S. border. There was a stream of folks from Austin, Texas, and there was also a stream of folks from California. So what I'm saying is Californians and Texans were getting out of those states a while ago, coming to at least Santa Fe in particular, because it was very blue, and they were finding their home there. So I was starting to see, and I didn't recognize this at the time, but it was part of this much larger realignment that's going along, you know, nationally with politics, business, real estate. But I think it's just been pushed into hyper mode from what I saw 4 years ago, I think was the beginning of the trickle over there. But northern New Mexico, it's totally lost to the blues. It's an absolute disaster. Hopefully good things will come back to New Mexico.
So. Yeah, interesting stuff indeed. Mike, thanks so much for weighing in. I love hearing
thanks,
that
Tim.
Story. Yeah, thank you so much. And let me tell you, that this COVID pandemic is going to put all of that income migration that I've studied actually for a very long time on steroids. And we're going to see what that demographic shift does. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to Virginia Cruda. And then when we wrap up the show, we're going to find out what word from the Lord that Ryan got
this
morning.
This is a great story.
We'll wrap that up. That'll be the way we wrap up the show on a high note as we go out. But Virginia Cruda is up next. She's with the Daily Caller. We'll talk to her next here on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As he spoke today at the Knesset behind me, Bennett was heckled by a number of Knesset members who support current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu has been in power for more than 12 years. Now, the Prime Minister-designate Bennett is expected to be strong on national security and foreign policy while continuing relations with the Biden administration in Washington. Earlier today, during this address to lawmakers, Bennett was not only addressing the people in the Knesset, but also the Israeli people. During those remarks and the heckling, he was able to talk about a number of key policy issues that concern the Israeli people, one of those having to do with Iran. And during those remarks, he reiterated his opposition to the Iran nuclear deal.
Well, that's good, because I know a lot of us are concerned about this change with Bibi Netanyahu off the main stage for a time being, hopefully still around, hopefully his people still around. I think a lot of us felt very comfortable, even though we had, you know, even though we, okay, we didn't have the House, okay? We knew we weren't going to completely get the House back. We made good strides. Nancy Pelosi's got, like, the smallest majority ever since, like, the 1800s. We lost the Senate, lost the presidency. We're like, well, at least Bibi Netanyahu is still running Israel. Now we've lost Bibi Netanyahu. And who's this new dude? I don't know a whole bunch about him. And I'm not as concerned about who runs Israel as I am with that person who runs Israel. What do they think about the Iranians and that Iranian nuclear deal? That's what I'm more concerned about. So let's talk to our next guest about that and a lot more. Let's bring her in now. Virginia Cruda at VA Cruda on Twitter, Daily Caller, or I'm sorry, yeah, dailycaller.com. Virginia, I had a lot of words in my head there. Virginia, the first thing I want to tell you, though, is happy birthday to the U.S. Army, 246 years old today.
Yes, 246.
Got a
big, June 14th, 1775.
Yeah, got a big anniversary coming up in, 4 years? Hopefully we'll all be still blessed to be around for that. We can all celebrate. Virginia, you're third-generation U.S. military, third-generation U.S. Army. When these landmarks happen, Virginia, you must have a real sense of pride in what you, your family, and your country have given so that the United States of America can continue to be a thing.
You know, I was thinking about that today. It's a legacy that it's really shaped my family from the very beginning because, you know, as I've told you before, I dug into Ancestry during the pandemic and I found 5 Revolutionary soldiers in my own family tree and 4 Civil War Union soldiers. And then the last 3 generations, I mean, it's not just me and my dad and my dad's dad. My mom's dad was Army Air Corps before it was the Air Force. My dad's brother went to Vietnam. His other brother was Delaware National Guard. You know, he had a cousin who was killed in a helicopter training accident with Delaware National Guard and another cousin who was career. So, it's just, there are so many, and that, and you know, my grandfather served at the Battle of the Bulge. Well, so did both of his brother-in-laws.
Wow.
One of them was in the second wave on D-Day. I think we talked about that. He was anti-aircraft artillery, and he was on Utah Beach. And like I said before, he was lucky twice. He was lucky because he made it home, but he was also lucky because he was on Utah Beach and not Omaha. So, you know, it's just it has shaped my entire family. This kind of being involved and defending what we have. It is a big deal. I was thinking about it this morning, and I'm sure I'll think about it more throughout the day.
Yeah, but excellent.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. Virginia, so are you – I don't know why I had it, but when I heard yesterday, you know, I kept being told – I actually have some friends in Israel – some actual real-life Israelis who I am friends with through the political world. And they kept telling me, oh, don't worry. Benjamin, you know, Bibi's going to get – he's going to put together something. He always does. He figures it out. And boom, yesterday I got hit with the news that, no, he's not. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a new prime minister. And I got this unsettled feeling like, ooh, is that good? Is that bad? What are we in for? And I was mainly worried about, you know, quote, peace in the Middle East and what we're going to do with this. Joe Biden seems to want to bend over backwards to get us back into this horrible, really bad, terrible Iranian nuclear deal, which has everything for Iran and nothing for us. And so I don't know. I'm a little concerned about this. What do you know about this potential new coalition government that the Israelis are setting up under this new prime minister?
I don't know a lot about it, but I will say this. I am less concerned about who is in charge of Israel than I am about who is in charge of the United States and how they interact with Israel. Because the reality is most people who live in Israel, whatever their other, you know, peripheral political beliefs are, they want to exist and they believe they have that right. And they're going to defend it if necessary. They may not do it in the same way that Netanyahu did, and they may not have the same diplomatic relationships with us as Netanyahu did. But the reality is we weren't going to have that relationship anymore anyway, because Joe Biden is not Donald Trump.
And that's for sure.
Joe Biden has made it clear that he wants to get back in this nuclear deal. And if you look at the way Congress responded to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's most recent remarks, you know, yes, they sent her a letter, rebuking her statement. But then as soon as she clarified the statement, which she kind of did and kind of didn't, they're like, okay, well, it's over then. Well, no, it's not over because this is not her first defense. You know, this is not, and it's not even out of character for her to say these things. So, you know, if we have Democratic leadership in the House that is not willing to condemn this, Democratic leadership in the Senate that we don't know because it never got that far. Because every time we try to censure her, somebody says you're a racist and somebody says you're a bigot. And this is just Islamophobia rearing its ugly head. No, no, this is people who are mad at a congresswoman for a specific thing that she said, and her race, gender, whatever, did not enter into the picture.
Virginia Kruger is associate editor at Daily Caller. Let me just ask you a quick question since we're on the subject,
sure.
Virginia. You know, today being the birthday of the U.S. Army and you're talking about looking back and then, you know, we're talking about issues both domestic and foreign. I kind of a big picture question for you here, but you could speak to it better than anybody. In the past, it seems like aside from the Civil War, most of our enemies have been from without. They've been outside the United States coming at us.
Right.
When the Civil War and now there's a lot of parallels because it feels like we're fighting against each other harder than we're fighting against any sort of outside threat. I mean, I'm not to put China into a box. They could do something
right.
Tomorrow. You never know. But
yeah.
what do you think right now is the greatest threat to the United States? Again, that's a very big question, but it seems to me that it's more from within than from without.
You know, it's really interesting because I just tweeted a quote from Samuel Adams maybe a half an hour ago where he was talking about it would be moral decline inside the country that would leave us vulnerable to attacks, whether from the inside or the outside, that would be what undermined us. But you know, it's a republic if you can keep it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say this, that who fights more? I mean, like, who fights more viciously than siblings against each other, you know, or you know what I'm saying? So the people who live in the same house tend to be the most vicious fighters. But as long as you do it the right way, you ultimately build each other up. You make each other stronger. And I think that we're getting away from that. And now we're just attacking people. So I think that it is a problem. You know, when you see Democrats taking a position simply because it's the opposite of what Donald Trump said, or simply the opposite of what they think Donald Trump's caucus in Congress will approve of, or Republicans taking a position because it's the opposite of what Joe Biden wants. And so when you see just that, if it's this oppositional defiance disorder, and everyone in Congress has it. So they have to, you know, it's a knee jerk. I have to oppose this because Democrats like it, or I have to oppose this because Republicans like it. Take your pick. That to a degree makes us stronger when they pick at each other and force the other side to compromise a little bit. But it only does that to a degree. And if you continue to attack people, then you start tearing them down. And I think that's where we're headed right now.
Virginia, one of the ways that the left is definitely trying to divide us is on this issue of race. Like, it's their wedge issue for everything because they have no other policy positions that they seem to care about. And so they use race in a disingenuous way. And you pointed that out on your Twitter feed today. I want to ask you about this last topic here. Joy-Ann Reid, who's one of the biggest race baiters in the industry, and it is an industry, put out a tweet that you responded to. Joy Reid says, "Open question to those who are afraid of critical race theory, which she claims isn't being taught in K-12 schools. It's a course offered in law schools, but you're clearly conflating with the 1619 Project, and you took umbrage of that as well." She wraps up by saying, "What do you want taught about U.S. slavery and racism? Nothing or what?" You point out that thread that she put together, and she's got a long thread on this, is both disingenuous and flat out false. What say you on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, first she says that she's kind of glomming on to this recurring theme among progressives right now, that if you disagree with critical race theory, you must either not want slavery taught at all because you want to whitewash history, or you don't understand what critical race theory is. Mm-hmm. Those are the only two options in her head if you oppose critical race theory. And if you don't know, critical race theory is this idea that everything must be viewed through the lens of race.
Mm-hmm.
And it is exceptionally divisive. And But then she goes on to suggest that it's not being taught in K-12 schools, but it is. It may not be taught under that name. They're not calling it critical race theory. You know, here's your kindergarten's lesson in critical race. No, they're not doing that. What they are saying in subtle ways that colonialism is bad, even though, you know, if you look back in history, that's what everybody was doing. It's not just the people who came to America that were, you know, making colonies. It was all over the world. That was how progress was made at the time. Now, do we still do that? No, because we've learned and we've made ourselves better over time. So, and that's what I would, the answer to her other question, you know, what do we want taught about slavery? We want the truth. We want people to understand what our history is, whether it's good or bad, whether we have scars, warts, whatever. We want to see it all, because you can only make yourself better if you know what the bad stuff looks like. And but to only see the bad stuff is a mistake as well. And that was something that Bill Maher brought up over the weekend. He was talking about progressophobia, which the idea that you can't see the progress that we've already made. And the line he delivered was something like, you can't tell that your dorm room in 2021 is somehow superior to the pre-war South. Of course it is, because we don't live in that same culture, because we saw a problem and we did what we could to rectify that problem. And now we have come so far. I mean, women can vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can have women can have any job we want now, pretty much. And the same thing goes for minorities. We have, you know, Black Americans can do whatever they want. They are, mm-hmm. the opportunity mm-hmm. is there for them to do what you can go where you want. You can do what you want, you know, and this idea, critical race theory, really, it undermines that. And it's the reason that schools are having 6 different graduations, because there are kids of different ethnicities in the class. No, we got rid of segregation for a reason.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And thank God the division is gone, but it's the left that's trying to bring it back. Virginia, we got to run. Thank you so much for all your time today at VACRUDA, dailycaller.com. Virginia, great discussion, and happy birthday to you and your fellow colleagues there in the U.S. Army.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a good one.
You too. We'll talk to you again soon. When we come back, got to wrap up our stories with this Ryan Story guy. He's got a word from the Lord to tell us about.
Dude,
fascinating,
it's a great story.
Fascinating
story
indeed. And I don't know if you're all following the mayoral race in the city of New York. It's a fascinating race because there's like 53 people running, including the once famous Andrew Yang. But Andrew Yang is nowhere near the top of the polls in the latest one that has
really?
Been taken. Ryan and I love polls. So
yes, yes.
I'll tell you who is winning that race, and it could be a breath of fresh air. It's not a Republican, but maybe our second best option. Who is that, and how are they doing? All that and more when we come back here as we wrap up the Annie Fry Show on a Manic Monday indeed at 97.1 FM Talk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
There's something about being a liberal Democrat that just loves power. And it's an addiction. And they love being in charge. And they love, frankly, corruption. And so they use their power to reward their friends and punish their enemies and to take care of their family and to take care of their political supporters. And I think this is the largest breakdown of the U.S. Constitution in the nation's history, not counting the Civil War. But I just think in a non-Civil War environment, it's astonishing. in places like New York or Michigan or Illinois or California, how much power these governors have grabbed. And you're exactly right. It makes them the equivalent of a third world dictator, and it guarantees massive levels of corruption.
Mm. The speaker there pulling no punches, and he's exactly right. Absolute power that they were granted corrupted them absolutely. And you see the difference between the states that removed barriers and rules and regulations and tried to lower taxes and help people out through the pandemic, and those who did nothing but try to put shackles and collars and lock people in their Joe Biden basements and throw them their crumbs, as Nancy Pelosi would say, of their Biden bucks. Yeah, so we'll get back to some politics again tomorrow. I'll be back the rest of the week. That's right. I'm back.
Yes.
Day this week. Going to be having a good time. Ryan, before we get out of here, I've been looking at this all day on our show sheet.
I know.
What in the world?
I know.
I got to know. The word from the Lord from a stranger this morning at the grocery store. What trouble were you causing at the grocery store this morning?
Okay, so I'm walking out of the grocery store, and a guy walks past me who's going into the grocery store. He's wearing a mask, and I'm not paying attention. He's just some guy. He walks past me, but he looked like he caught my eye, and I thought, well, that was a little weird, but I just kept walking. And then I hear from behind me, he goes, excuse me, sir. And I was like, uh-oh, either I've got toilet paper on my shoe or something, and he's going to tell me that, you know, I got something on my shirt, or he's going to ask me for money. You know, I don't know what
it
is.
You just don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, I'm hesitating to even turn around, thinking, I'm just going to keep walking, maybe, and he won't even notice that he said my name. And he says it again, excuse me, sir. I'm like, all right, fine. So I turn around, and he says, sir, I just got a word from the Lord for you. Okay. My first question, have you ever been in a circumstance like that?
No.
This seems to happen to me.
Not like, that serious.
Like once or twice every year or two.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever had that experience.
So I don't know if it's because I walk around and I'm smiley and people just happen to, you know, say, oh, well, maybe I can tell him something or what, but it happens. And so I'm like, all right. So at this point, I'm like, either he's baiting me into something or he's just going to tell me something. And I looking at him, I'm like, I don't think he's got any sort of weird motive here. I'll take a listen. So I said, okay, give it to me.
Uh-huh.
And he says, so the past is already past. Leave it alone. Control what you can control.
Mm.
And I'm like, say that again, because you're wearing a mask. I can't quite hear what you're saying. And I'm like, well, I want to get this straight. So he says, leave the things that you can't control behind. Control only what you can control. Like, leave your past in your past.
Mm.
So I'm like, okay, all right. Thanks.
Relatively profound.
Yeah,
but okay.
Like, it's one of those situations where then, you know, I'm driving here because I was on my way here. I stopped at the grocery store to get something to eat before I came here. And then you go, where do I put this? Like,
right.
What is that? Is it a crazy guy? Is it a genuine, like, prophet guy? But the word is not specific to me at all. Like, it's something you could see on a plaque in somebody's office, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, to me, you just kind of say, I don't really know what to do.
Does he
so
say
I thought,
that to everybody? Or right. Was this a unique circumstance? Like, why you at that store at that time?
Exactly.
At that place?
Exactly. And that's what's going through my head. Like, do I take this serious? Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Like, so it's not like it's unbiblical or is in conflict with the scripture or anything.
And it's not too crazy.
It's not. It's not like way out there.
It's not like, Ryan, world's ending next week. Here comes the meteors.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And I'd say, okay, well, then mark the date and I'll watch and see. Yeah. But I just don't know what to do with those because they're almost like if he had said, Ryan, mm-hmm. and then gave me, I'd be like, whoa, man, how'd you know my name?
Now
then
I'm listening. Super freaked.
But it's one of those things that I didn't know if it happened to other people or if it was just me, because that's not the first time that's happened to me. A stranger just kind of stops you and says it. But I've never gotten anything that seemed like that personal.
No.
Out of those encounters.
I lived in New York for 10 years, and I've been to D.C. a million times. So there are street prophets out there,
mm-hmm.
and you see them all the time when you're in those urban environments, but they're not talking directly to you.
They're preaching.
Yeah. Now, when you walk past them, they're very good. I mean, some of these men and women need to be on Broadway, right? And being paid lots of money because maybe they're not acting. Maybe they're divinely inspired. I don't know. But they'll look at you, they'll zero in on you, and they'll talk to you for a second, but then they move on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This was not that, right? This was much more unique. This guy wasn't a street prophet. He was just a dude leaving the grocery store as you were going in, and he felt compelled to tell you that at that moment, at that time. What if you had been delayed by 5 minutes or been there 5 minutes earlier? You would have missed all this.
I know.
It's very interesting.
I know. It's like all those
things
go through
your mind. That has never
happened
to me that directly that I'm aware of, that I can remember.
Well, then, you take something like that. It's not the first time that it doesn't happen, like, in public all the time. But, like, randomly somebody I know or don't know that well will maybe email me, hey, you were on my mind. You know, I feel like the Lord's kind of, you know, and then fill in the blank. Those I take pretty seriously because if it's somebody you know, it's somebody that you trust a little bit more, even if you haven't talked to them in a while. But the stranger thing, not to quote the show, the name of the show, Stranger Thing, but I just don't know what to do with it. So my Rolodex starts going and like, well, how does this apply to me in any way? And I couldn't find anything like that personal about it. So I don't know what to do with
like
it.
I love stuff like that. I think of it as whenever someone kind of gives you a random compliment. Like, I'm someone that I just saw two ladies yesterday, Sunday, watching some musicians play Sunday night on Main Street, St. Charles. And I didn't know them. They didn't know me. But I was walking to watch these musicians play. And I just looked at them. And they were in their late 70s, it looked like. And I was like, hey, you girls look great tonight. I hope you have a wonderful night. And I mean, they were shocked and they're like, okay, like, thank you so much. But I think it's just one of those random things that this might not be the cause and the reason of why he said this to you, but we've got to get back to humanity some way. We've been sheltered and where we were made for all of 15 months to believe that the world is ending and we're never going to access humanity and we're never going to be shown faces anymore or have conversations in person. That's what it felt like. So not sure if this guy meant that and went that deeply into saying, I'm going to tell this guy this weird little thing. But to me, whenever I see random acts like that now where people are just talking to talk, they're probably just like, I didn't think that this was going to happen again. So this is a weird little tidbit. Take it. See you later, dude. Like, I mean.
Yeah, that's kind of where I landed with it was like, there's really no way to know, like, is this divine? Is it just some dude?
Maybe he was lonely. Maybe he's like, hey.
Maybe. And I brightened his day by saying, yeah, sure, bring it on.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
I love it, though. I think it's fantastic. And it's a deeper philosophical question we can explore the rest of the week as to is some of this insanity we're going through, and I'm sure every generation has their version of insanity, but I feel like we've been subjected to quite a bit of it over the last few years. Before the pandemic accelerated it. Is this a fad? Are we going to get back to more humanity and just having more civil conversations? It's okay if you're a Republican. It's okay if you're a Democrat. It's okay if you're a Libertarian or a Green Party person. We'll have a discussion, and at the end of the day, we pack up and move on versus this I'm staying in my corner forever kind of attitude. There's some sanity possibly coming out of New York City. I'll leave you with this, and we'll talk about this fellow tomorrow. Eric Adams, he is a Democrat. He's the Brooklyn Borough President. He's an African-American, and he's old school, which is what I love. He said he's running to restore New York City to its greatness and to end the crime problem there. Now, there's a bright spot in an otherwise dark world, and another one is coming up next. Mark Reardon, after us, right now.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.